Welcome to break number five. We are going to continue on just a couple more comments that dealt with the book of Hebrews. We had talked about faith in break four there, and I just want to show you some things dealing with chapter 11 and then the faith of Christ. I thought we would just make that our little break time. So we go through Hebrews chapter 11, and we see the classic talk. This is classic stuff from the pulpits today dealing with faith, okay? And we know we're living in a world where faith is being talked about more and more, but we just have to remind ourselves, and if we get a chance to talk to other people, what's important is not our faith, it's His faith. It's the faith of Christ. It's our faith in Christ that gives us the faith of Christ. And we hear people saying all the time, oh, he had such strong faith, or she had such strong faith. And I'm glad they did, but we just have to make sure for ourselves, as well as we get a chance to talk to anybody, that faith of theirs better be in Jesus Christ as their Savior, and understanding Paul's gospel of the risen Savior, because it's his faith is what gets them in, if they want to use an earthly phrase there. So we're looking at chapter 11, and this is your classic sermon where they go to verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So that's true. We still have to have our faith. There's a lot of verses from Paul that talks about our faith. And sure, our faith can waver. We can even give up and lose our faith. But we cannot lose the faith of Jesus Christ. Now notice in verse 2, after he just defines, as we say, what faith is, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But then we see in verse 2, for by it, which is faith, the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered. Verse 5, by faith Enoch offered. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. Well, when we lose our faith and we give up and just kind of wind down a little bit, do we not please him anymore? Are we into this? See, there's that dispensation of grace again, that we need to understand this thing about pleasing God. Our walk, I'm sure, has many moments or minutes or hours of not pleasing God. Our jobs, the things we wear, how we talk, what we think, what we watch, what we listen to, I'm sure is not pleasing to God. That'd be another couple sermons there. So many things are not pleasing to God today. But we have to remember that those things are going to burn the judgment seat of Christ. God is not going to be displeased with us where he suddenly doesn't bless us or doesn't protect us or even comes down and harms us, takes away our life or takes away our finances, our health. Does he do that because he's not pleased? Does he do that because he's not pleased with your faith? See, the whole thing puts it back on us. And this dispensation of grace that Paul teaches about is so marvelous because it really isn't about us anymore. It's about him. Everything is about him. It's his salvation. It's his righteousness. It's his faith. See? We find ourselves falling into this modern religion of, oh, we have to be such marvelous Christians or God will get us. We have to maintain that faith or God will be displeased. And if you have that kind of strong faith, then let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and let's find out what these people did. Well, these people in Hebrews chapter 11, they did these things based on their own faith. Let's keep going here. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, that's fine, in faith. Whose faith did they die in? Theirs. Verse 17, by faith Abraham. Verse 20, by faith Isaac. 21, by faith Jacob. And it goes on and on and on. But then we get down to verse 39, just like it started. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, okay? Now, if we look at chapter 12, verse 2, we see where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's their faith that they had to have strengthened. And yes, Jesus was the one that how can Paul talk about this? He's talking to the Jews. Where does this come about? I'll tell you where it comes about. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. There was a time right after Paul got saved, and he got strengthened, and he learned what he needed to learn already. But he knows he had to go to the Jews first. And we see in chapter 9, let's go down to verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Paul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So right away in Paul's early ministry, he still had to go to the Jews. He still had to teach them that he was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Son of God. And so my thoughts are, the book of Hebrews is what Paul taught to the Jews. It says in verse 21, all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them, which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Paul's first ministry was to the Jews. So it makes total sense that the book of Hebrews, even though it's at the end of the dispensation of grace, it's at the beginning of the tribulation, that's where it would have been had the Jews believed what Paul had to say. So Hebrews, to me, and I think it's a viable comment. I think it's teachable, and I think it's trustable that Hebrews was written. I should say Hebrews was spoken to the Jews in Acts chapter 9, verse 20, 21, and 22. So that would explain why Paul teaches to the Jews what he teaches. And that would also explain why we as pastors, we as teachers, preachers, do not take the Gentiles to Hebrews to teach them anything other than knowledge. It is not to be applied to us. Does that not make sense? That makes total sense. So what is it that Paul has to teach us about faith? If we can't teach Hebrews chapter 11, and we can't say to people, you know, not to forsake the assembling of the brethren, we can't use that. We can use it historically, but we can't pull that verse out and say it to ourselves, say it to our congregation. You can say it, but you know what you're doing. The statement makes sense, but you're taking it out of historical context. That was to the Jews. And if you say that to your congregation, to your friends, to your family, then you're showing them that you're going to Hebrews to teach something to them today, and that's a false impression. You should not be taking anything from Hebrews to teach to the people other than historically or prophetically dealing with the tribulation that's coming. Paul did not teach Hebrews to the Gentiles, he taught it to the Jews. So, in the few minutes we have left here, what is it that Paul taught to the Gentiles? Well, he talks about this in Romans 3:22, for example. Here we go with some verses here. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You take any modern Bible, and the verses I'm going to read to you tonight, you lick them up, and those modern Bibles will say faith in Christ. So it still puts all the faith that you have in yourself, because it's your faith. And so if that's what you believe, then you naturally could believe that, well, you give up your faith, then you can give up your salvation. But see, we're not talking about my faith. We're not talking about our faith. We're talking about his faith. Don't you ever feel like giving up these days? I mean, it seems like everything is falling apart. And if you didn't know your King James Bible rightly divided, you would think God is nowhere to be found. But we understand Romans chapter 2. He's there. He knows exactly what's going on. And he's keeping track of everything. And for the Christian, our works will be judged and burnt. And for the lost person, their works will be judged, and they will burn because they are still attached to their sin. They are still attached to their works. So God's still there. But we also tend to forget that this world does belong to the devil. This is his world. He is the God of this world. So, back to the point here. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. We're justified by the faith of Christ, not by our faith. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Well, I know people know that part of it, but they don't realize, or they're forgetting, or the pastor has never taught it to them. Their belief in Jesus Christ makes them justified by the faith of Christ. We're not justified by our faith. We're justified by his faith. Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, which we are, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So is your faith wavering? Are you having some tough times? Well, you can be encouraged because it's the faith. We're living by the faith of the Son of God. We're not living by our faith. I suppose I could say our faith, if it's strong, is kind of a bonus because we're doing all right. But as things get difficult, can you maintain that faith? Well, if you can, that's great, and we should. We need to. But we can maintain our faith if we realize that it's his faith that we live by. Galatians 3:22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. It's his faith again. Ephesians 3:12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Our confidence, our boldness is because of his faith. Philippians 3:9, and be found in him not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Well, we know that. We know that our righteousness is, we need his righteousness, not ours. But then it goes on and says, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So we realize that it's his righteousness that we are being given. It is his righteousness that is imputed to us. He makes us his righteousness, it even says. But here it says, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Our faith in him gives us his faith. And that ought to be encouraging to people, realizing that it's his faith that we're turning to. And then just one final thought here. If we go to Habakkuk chapter 2, if there's your test for today, how fast can you find Habakkuk? I suppose you could put this mini sermon on pause and look up Habakkuk. But it's chapter 2, verse 2, where it says, even to the Old Testament people, which is exactly what Hebrews was geared to, was to the Jews, about their faith. It says right here, the just shall live by his faith. Bottom line is, we can't go to Hebrews to teach anything to the people, or even to teach to yourself, other than the knowledge of it, and to understand what it was that he was teaching to the Jews, and to understand that this is what needs to be taught during the tribulation. They will be back on their faith. Us today, dispensation of grace, it's the faith of Christ. And that should be very encouraging, knowing that it's his faith that we live by, not ours.